Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Our wonderful guest today is named Kiki Athanas. And she, first of all, welcome to the show, Kiki.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be chatting with you. I feel so special to be here.
Well, it's so great to have you here. And I know we talked before the holidays, and I'm going to get into your bio, but I really believe that everything happens for a reason. And you wanted me to try these amazing gummies that you're the co-founder of a company that markets them. They're called Adapt Daily. And they just had all the things I needed to get over my cold that I ended up catching around the holidays. So I can't thank you enough for those gummies.
Oh, I'm so happy that they made their way to you in just the perfect time. I mean, God bless adaptogens.
I love adaptogens. So let's talk about your wonderful bio. So Kiki helps smart women conquer emotional eating and practice healthy, balanced eating with consistency and ease. She created the gut-brain integration method to help women take control of their cravings and their hunger. Eating no longer feels like an eternal battle, and they can finally shed the excess weight. She's worked with hundreds of women to free them from food-obsessed to balanced and confident about their bodies. Well, how perfect that you're on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and you're helping women to feel balanced and confident about their bodies. And so few women feel that way, even the most beautiful, gorgeous actresses and supermodels. If you ask them what's wrong with your body, they could tell you in a second, right?
Absolutely. And I love that I'm on the show because I love that the title also has abundance in it, because I always use that word with my clients in the sense of, you know, mindset around food. It's like, get yourself out of deprivation and into abundance. And that is really the key, which I'm sure we'll get into.
We'll get into that. But first, tell us your story with food. How did you get balanced and confident in your body? And what made you go from food obsessed to actually inspiring women to take control of their food obsession and finally gain freedom?
Well, it was quite the 180 flip around, because I very much was food obsessed. And even though on the outside, it looked like I was just healthy and I loved, you know, healthy eating and healthy living, it soon took a really unhealthy turn. And I eventually realized that, okay, my obsession with health is becoming unhealthy. And now there's a term for it. It's orthorexia. And I was the classic case. And I didn't really want to solve it, to be honest, until it started giving me actual negative side effects. So beyond just the sort of mental disturbance of knowing that I was thinking about food all of the time, and maybe there's more to life. But it wasn't until I started gaining weight and then losing weight, I had IBS, there was just certain things that it was debilitating in life. I even remember I was dating someone at the time and I broke it off with him because I felt like I'm so obsessed with eating and my gut, and I'm so prisoner to my bathroom that I literally just like can't take on another thing. And so that's when I really realized, okay, I just want to learn how to eat normally again. And I don't want to give up my desire to be healthy and slender and fit. But at the same time, I just want to be able to go to a restaurant and kind of be like, like this looks good, and eat it, and then not obsess about it for the rest of my life. And so I tried various things, but the real turning point for me was working with a coach who essentially shared this, a similar method. I've kind of changed it a little bit, but now I call it the gut brain integration method. And it really helps you drop back into the feeling in your stomach, into the visceral sensations that we have thanks to having a stomach, and really taking us out of our head and our head brain when it comes to eating and dropping into hunger and satiety. And it sounds so simple, but we, especially as women, lose that sense and that connection because we get so good at training ourselves out of it. We get so good at like, oh no, like I like this food because it's healthier. Like, oh no, I'm not hungry. It's 7:30. Like I can't possibly be hungry at this time. And so we just get so good at ignoring our cues. And so my process is really about how do we bring them back, because they're there. It's not that we have to recreate them or create them from scratch. It's about really calming all of the head chatter that we've consumed through diet culture, through whatever it has been that's disconnected us from essentially the actual visceral sensations in our gut.
So what can someone do, Kiki, if they're like, I don't feel my hunger anymore. I'm just like counting macros all day and I'm intermittent fasting. And I'm so focused on all the diet trends that I don't even know when I'm hungry and when I'm full. What would be some tips that you would tell that person?
Yeah. Okay. So number one would actually be to wait for hunger, because here's the deal. It will always come, right? And for a lot of us, especially if we're in any sort of deprivation or diet, we're very scared of hunger because it brings about this like emotional response as well, because it's like, oh my God, like you might be in deprivation. So that additional level of hunger is like very frightening, right? And so I would say neutralize hunger. Hunger isn't good or bad. Hunger isn't an emotionally, traumatic experience. It's simply a feeling, right? We all remember when we were children and we felt hungry, it wasn't, you know, we called out for food or we wanted food, or even if you think about if you're on vacation and you get hungry, but you're calm and, you know, everything's going well, and then you're hungry. Like you're not like, oh my God, I'm hangry, I'm going to rip someone's face off. It's just hunger. And that's what is the first thing to really recognize, is like hunger isn't good or bad. It's neutral. And we need to wait to experience it. And the good thing is it always comes. And for if you've been eating in excess for a long period of time, maybe it'll take a little bit longer to come. I've worked with clients where it hasn't come in days. It's taken like 2 days before they've actually felt hunger, but it will eventually come. And then you can respond appropriately to it by eating. And oftentimes, as you said, you mentioned the macro thing, you know, it's, oh, I have to eat every 2 hours. Oh, I have a workout, so I have to eat before this, blah, blah, blah. And we're not ever allowing hunger to just come. And hunger is a signal from the body that the body is chemically prepared to digest food. So it is inappropriate to put food inside of you if you are not hungry. And if there's, you know, sometimes the kind of backlash I get on that is like, oh, but I just never feel hungry. Well, then the practice is to really reconnect with your gut, take time, slow down, and feel into the feeling in your stomach, because I guarantee you, if you don't eat, eventually you will feel hungry. It's not that you've lost it. It's just that, again, you've been super in your head. So neutralize the expectation and simply wait. And oftentimes it's all the head chatter of like, oh, but I should be hungry by now, or oh, but it's this time, or oh, but I'm going to go do a workout, so I have to eat. And rules of eating always end up leading to overeating. So drop the rules and wait for hunger is number one.
What are your thoughts on some of the trends that are happening right now of ketosis and intermittent fasting and all the things, you know, high fat, high protein, low carb? What is your opinion on that?
So here's the thing. All of those trends actually have some truth to them, but unfortunately, they're like the tiny little bit of the truth is then, you know, just purported by influencers and all of these things that we sort of lose the essence of it. Like, let's take intermittent fasting. Is intermittent fasting bad? Well, no, the essence of it is waiting to be empty, right? To digest all of your food and then allowing yourself to get to hunger before you eat again. That's essentially intermittent fasting, but we've turned it into this marketing thing of like, oh, like, you know, only eat between 12 and 8, or, you know, like make sure you go a set number of hours. We don't have to go about it with that rigidity. We can take the essence of why it is intermittent fasting healthy. It's giving your body a break to digest. It's meaning that oftentimes you're going to sleep so that you can detox and the brain can detox and do all those things without needing to worry about digestion. And the reason, you know, oftentimes women feel good on intermittent fasting is because they're able to actually allow themselves to get to hunger. The problem is when we use it to check out of our body. It's like, oh, I don't have to think about hunger. I don't have to check in to see if I'm hungry or I'm full of anything because I just follow timing. And that's ultimately putting you in deprivation and is not effective. So the good thing is like all these trends, you'll actually follow them if you just eat intuitively, but you won't need to try to do them. The more that you try to do the trends, probably you're going to mess them up anyways. But the good news is the trends that actually have substance and that are actually, I would say, good, you're going to naturally do them. Like, let's also think about, you know, now balancing your glucose levels, you know, having balanced meals, maybe, you know, kind of watching your carbs and making sure that you're having protein and fat. Again, the good news is when you're eating intuitively, you wait for hunger. Do you feel like, you know, a bowl of grapes, or do you feel like some chicken and rice and broccoli, right? Probably the second. And so again, when we really tap into hunger as well as your taste buds, you're going to follow the trends. So you don't need Instagram. You just need like your connection to your gut. And I know that that can be, especially for women, especially I'm a perfectionist. I'm very A type. We want to make sure that it's like, we're doing everything right and perfect. And it's unsexy to just be like, oh, I guess I'm just going to like trust myself and surrender. Cause there's that little voice inside of us that it's like, no, you're going to mess it up. Like, or like, no, you have to work a little bit harder than everyone else. And the truth of the matter is that you don't. And it sounds so cliche, but it's just the truth, because the body wants to be healthy. It wants to be slender. The body doesn't want excess storage. You don't need to fight it for that. You actually just need to surrender into it. And it's that mindset shift of like, this should hurt a little bit, or like this should be painful, but it's actually not.
But do you think that all bodies are meant to be slender? I mean, aren't there certain body types that are not meant to be slender, that are like more Rubenesque or voluptuous?
So here's the thing. I use the word slender because to me, slender means no excess storage, right? Do we have different body shapes? Absolutely. There are literally our bones, right? Like even if you just take out all the skin and all the meat, right? Like we will all have a different shape. And some of us are in larger bodies because we're in larger frames. Yeah. That 100%. Are we all going to, you know, eat intuitively and be French models? Absolutely not. Right? I wish. Actually, I don't wish. But you know, that's just the truth of the matter. Am I saying that we all have the ability to be without excess storage? Yes. Am I saying that we need to be? No. Like if you are in a larger body and you have excess and you're like, I love myself and I like this and I feel good, awesome. Like that's great. I'm not saying like, no, we all have to like, you know, be perfectly this, right? But I do want to give sort of permission for women that are in a larger body that feel like I want to be in a smaller one. And if they do have excess storage, I don't think they should be shamed for wanting that. And I know this because when I started gaining weight, when I was sort of binging and all this yo-yo dieting that was really messing up my gut, which was causing me to gain weight, I remember speaking with different intuitive eating coaches, mindful eating coaches, and it was almost like, oh, Kiki, it's so bad that like you want to be thin. Like that's just diet culture. Like get over yourself. Like just love yourself where you're at. And while I understand where they're coming from, and definitely we need to respect ourselves wherever we're at, there is a natural desire to be at our optimal and to feel good. And for me, I knew when I was feeling light and free and when I had excess and when I was carrying excess, I didn't feel good. And I don't believe in shaming women into just being like, oh, you should just love yourself regardless. it's yes, respect yourself where you're at. And yes, you can lose excess storage without dieting.
So do you think the movement of just accept and love yourself where you're at and everybody is a bikini body is really empowering women? Or do you think it's just giving them the green light just to eat whatever they want and be unhealthy?
Such a good question. I've never thought about it like that, because to be honest, I don't mean to say it in a bad way. Like, I don't care. Like, if you want to be in a larger body, like, it's up to you. I've never been super, strong on either side. I think that there just needs to be more voice to women who genuinely want to lose weight from a place of love, that they shouldn't feel guilty about that. I think that, you know, if someone's been on their journey and for them, their choice is that, like, you know what, I could go down that route of, like, you know, kind of making more connected choices, or I could go down this route of just simply not making connected choices and loving my body the way it is. I think that's wonderful. If you want to do that as well, like, I'm all about freedom of choice. So as long as it's doing it from a place of choice. With that said, the coaching side of me knows that deep down you're not making fully connected choices, because if you're eating in excess, and if you have excess, you are eating in excess. And that means that ultimately you're using food as a buffer from connecting with yourself. And so, you know, it's just the truth of the matter. And we all use different things to disconnect from ourselves. We all have our vices, but we just have to be understanding of the facts of, okay, well, they're using food as a way to soften the discomfort in their life. And if they're okay with that choice, then that's their choice. But there is other more appropriate things that we can do to soften the discomfort in our life beyond food, because food is meant to care for the physical body when hungry. If you use it for any other purpose, you're missing out on the opportunity to actually feel the emotion or to actually deal with it in a more effective way. Like, if, you know, your partner is pissing you off, you can have something to eat, or you can deal with your partner pissing you off, or you can make the decision of, I'm not going to deal with this, but you're making the conscious decision of, like, something is happening. It's pissing me off. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. And, you know, I'm going to check out. And to me, that's more empowering than just running to food. Because you're acknowledging that it's like, okay, I don't know what the F to do, right? And that's a more powerful place to be, in my opinion.
So food addiction is using food to not feel uncomfortable feelings, just like alcohol or drugs or shopping or gambling or sex or codependency or anything else. So we have a choice to make an empowered choice, is instead of using food as an addiction to numb out, we can actually feel the painful feelings, process them out with a therapist or a coach or a trusted friend or an advisor. And that way we won't need to run to food to numb our uncomfortable feelings. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And whether we're doing it through the excess or through restriction, because it depends, because I work with women on both sides. For some of them, it's not that they're using mass amounts of food to buffer, they're using mass amounts of control. And that's a disassociation with the gut in another way, because then they're not connecting with hunger. They're ignoring their body, right? And so it's the same thing. Whereas, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you feel the feelings, and I often don't use this in my marketing, because women come to me because they think they have a food issue or a gut issue, or they, oh, I have IBS, or, oh, I have this weight loss. No one is like, oh, you know what? I think there's something going on with my life and I'm using food as a crutch, right? Some of them have a little bit of that awareness for sure. But most of the time it's not. And so they're telling me, oh, you know what? It's because now, like, I used to eat really low carb and now I don't eat low carb. I need to get back to it. I need to intermittent fast. And it's like, no, because we all remember, most of us, a time in our life when we ate the pizza occasionally, when we did, like, you know, we weren't necessarily fasting on a schedule or anything like that. And yet we were slim, we were fit, we were energized. And it's like, nope, it's not the food. It's being aligned and being in the movement of your life and in your purpose. And when we get off of our path, then we turn to food either as something to control, to kind of take us away from the main problem, or to literally use it as comfort, right? And I think that's now very widely accepted. Like, of course, emotional eating, right? Like, yes, it's very much a thing. It's something that's pleasurable. We've literally been trained from a young age to, you know, I even see it. I'm half Greek, like young Greek children, they start crying. Everyone's like, get her some food. Well, she makes me so hungry, right? And we use it now. And even now as adults, oh, they're tired. Oh, look, you should eat something. Oh, you're this. Oh, have this, or you're sick. Oh my God, you need some chicken soup. We use food to fix everything. And food doesn't fix everything. Food fixes hunger. That's it. Everything else needs a different solution.
Yeah. Well, I actually had a bout of anorexia in high school, and I was feeling so out of control because my first love dumped me and I couldn't get him back. And I felt so out of control that I started obsessing about food and how thin I was, because I'm like, well, I can't control if this guy comes back, but I can control how much food or how little food I'm putting into my body. So I like that you brought up the point that not only is food addiction actually being addicted to eating food, it can also be addicted to not eating food and the feeling of empowerment that can give someone in an unhealthy way.
Absolutely. And I think that story needs to be told just as much, because especially with women that I work with that are on the more of the opposite side, where they're sort of, they admit to being overindulgent with food, they feel like they're so different than that person that's so restrictive. And after working with so many women, it's like, it's the same thing, right? And I use the exact same process with both sides of the spectrum. Even the both sides of the spectrum in, I've worked with some women that they're so scared about being thin. They want to be voluptuous and big, and their fear is like, oh my God, I'm too skinny. I'm going to be too skinny. They're setting alarms to eat more because they're waking up in the middle of the night to eat. Whereas, you know, I always thought it must be the other way around, but it goes to show it's not the food, you know, the body, it's all the mental head chatter that's disconnecting us from just responding to, am I hungry? What would I like? Because I always ask this question to women before I start working with them to know if it's going to work. I'll say, if you only ever ate when you were hungry and you only ever ate what you wanted, and then you stopped when you felt balanced, not full, but balanced, do you think that you would be at a weight that you didn't like? Do you think that you'd be either too weight or too big or too thin or whatever? And most women will say, well, actually, no, I'd probably be good, right? And I'm like, yes, that is the truth that we're going to use as your value-based belief moving forward. Because whenever the head chatter comes in, all you have to do is remind yourself of that one sentence of, wait a second, I don't have to know all of these rules. I don't have to follow all of this stuff. All I have to do is, okay, am I hungry? Okay, do I like it? Okay, stop when I feel good and balanced. And as long as you follow that, you're going to be fine. And so we can use that to kind of rein us back in when we feel so overwhelmed with like, oh, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. It really comes back to just taking care of yourself. And that's boring. It's not intense. We're addicted to intensity. We're addicted to optimization. We're addicted to this, like this high level of, you know, like cortisol, whatever it is. And so this, you know, intuitive eating, taking good care of yourself, it's so blah. Like it's so anticlimactic. Like, you know, it's like, it's almost depressing because we're like, oh, right. And I know for me, I spent so much of my time thinking about eating, thinking about not eating, strategizing like, oh, okay, I'm not going to have this muffin, but I can do it with the buckwheat and this and that and blah, blah. And then once I got my time back, I was like, oh, like, this is so boring. Like, I just like eat what I want and then I move on. Like, what is it that I'm like here to optimize? But we need to recognize that it's like, we are already whole and complete. Like, we don't have to maximize the utility of everything we do in life because it's exhausting. And the more that we surrender into, you know, this bore that is life, actually we get all the benefits that we were chasing anyways. Actually, you know, our skin clears up and we come back to, you know, a balanced body and all of these things, but we can do it from a path that's like super blasé. We don't have to like, you know, do it in the really intense way.
So you say that people should stop eating when they're balanced. I heard you should stop at like 80% satisfaction. What is it to you when people should stop when they're balanced? Where is that on a level of satiety?
Yeah. So I use, with my clients, I use the hunger scale. And so if we think of 0 to 10, 0 being like you're totally empty, you would never get to 0. 0 is like you're dead. And then 10 is like, oh my God, you're like so full, like intense, right? And so I always say we want to stop at a 5. 5 is balanced. 5 is you don't feel your stomach, right? Like we all have moments in our day where it's just like, we don't even think about our stomach because we're just in the movement of life. Like we're not hungry when I'm not hungry. It's just like, we're good. We're energized. We're moving through life. That's where we stop, right? We use food to fuel the physical body when hungry. And then when we're stopped, when we're no longer hungry, we're energized. We can move forward. Food is meant to propel us, right? It's not meant to consume us. And so you should feel energized after your food. You should be able to go for a walk. You should be able to go do a light yoga class. And so I think I technically agree with the whole 80% thing, but I think that it still makes it seem like we're missing out on 20% that everyone else is getting. So I never use that verbiage because I think verbiage is super important. And I don't want it to feel like, oh, like, everyone else gets 100, you get 80 because you're like losing weight. Do you know what I mean? Right. And so I say, eat until you feel good, right? It's not, oh, don't eat too much, right? It's, you know, set the intention. I'm going to eat until I feel good. And oftentimes what happens is you realize that you don't need that much. And that's not the goal. I'm not saying, oh, let's all do this so that we eat less. No, that's not the goal. It will happen, but it's not the goal. And so then we have to catch the head chatter of, oh my God, but I'm going to be hungry soon. Like, oh, but I'm eating, but because I get it all the time. My clients are like, yeah, but the thing is like, I know where balance is, but then I feel like I should eat more because I'm going to be hungry soon after. I'm like, okay, so you're going to be hungry soon. You could eat, right? It's the rule that it's like, but I can't eat past this time, or like, but I shouldn't snack so much. And so it's like the rules of eating, they're getting in the way of you just being in balance. And so stop at balance, knowing that I can eat again if I get hungry, and you might, right? As you go through this, you might get hungry an hour later and you could eat, or you might not, right? But it's the ability again to be in abundance, knowing that I can always eat. I can always eat whatever I want. And if you genuinely believe that, would you overeat? No, we overeat because there's a little piece of us that's like, this is going to be the last meal, or like, okay, well now I'm having this, so I can't have it again this time, or like whatever it is. And that's the, like, the rules of the, oh, because I need to be slim. They're literally making you fat.
That's very interesting. So I know you mentioned it. Just repeat it again for my audience. What is orthorexia and why should we care about it?
Yeah. So orthorexia is essentially an obsession with clean eating. And I think we need to at least be aware of it right now because it's a slippery slope. So if you know, there's healthy eating and like healthy living from a place of love, right? And from a place of, and that's how I started. And oftentimes that's how people start, right? You start eating better, you start working out, and you're like, wow, I feel so good, right? And that's a beautiful place. Like, stop there. But if you are perfectionist, A-type, if you tend to take things a little bit more intense than usual, then you've got to be cautious because those are the kinds of people that will take the like, oh, I feel good when I like, you know, treat myself good. Those are the people that are like, how am I going to optimize this more? And it becomes this obsession. And I think the only problem or the red flag that you need to catch is when you're in deprivation, is when you're ever feeling like deep down, I want that, but I'm going to push it. I'm not going to have it right now. Do I eat like crap? No, but it's coming from a place of like, I don't want that. Like, I know I can have something better. Like, I know it's going to feel good in my body, right? And so now I probably order the same thing as when I was orthorexic, but it's coming from a different energy. It's coming from, yeah, I'd like to have this chicken salad. Whereas before it was, oh, fuck, like I really want the burger. Like that one's having the burger. I really wish I had the burger, but no, I'm going to have the salad. I'm going to pretend like I like the salad, right? And so it's like, if you feel like you're in this like battle within yourself, you really need to scale it in and be like, okay, I'm feeling the deprivation. And so what do you do when you feel the deprivation? You need to bring everything back in. You need to say, okay, I can have everything again. And what you'll notice, and I see it with my clients all the time, I was just speaking with someone, she lives in Chicago, and she like, there's this burger place in Chicago, and she's like, oh my God, I've always wanted to go, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she went there the other night. She was like, I didn't even like the burger. Like it wasn't even good. But she spent the last 2 years obsessing about like how she can't have it and like she really wants it, whatever. So the good thing is once you invite in total and complete choice and really connect with your taste buds, for the most part, you're going to want nutritious, delicious food anyways. So you don't have to hack it. And yes, some days you might like want the slice of chocolate cake or whatever it is, and you'll have it. And, you know, the body can deal with some not so great, you know, substances, like the body can detox occasionally. But what you'll notice is that, you know, you may think that you want processed food or whatever it is, but it's because you're telling yourself deep down that you can't or that you shouldn't. But really, if you knew, like to me, if someone said, hey, do you want like Doritos or like my Greek aunt's like lamb stew, like, actually, I'm going to have the stew. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm never going to choose it over, or it's like, do you want the Sobeys or whatever this, like whatever, like a trashy grocery store in the US is, do you want that version of like the croissant, or do you want the homemade croissant in France? It's like, I'll take the croissant in France. Thank you very much. Like all we need is our taste buds. We don't need rules.
Why do you, speaking of France, why do you think that French women are so slender and fit, but their diet is like all carbs and heavy creams?
So happy you asked. I don't even know. Did I prep you for that question? This is so good because I use it in my course. I use France as the example because it's the perfect example of how we've all got it wrong. In America, North America, whatever, it's like we're all so obsessed with health, with superfoods. We're buying all the supplements, we're putting all the green things and all of our green juices, whatever. Yet we're all like, I need to lose weight, I need to get fit or whatever. And then in France, gluten, dairy, refined sugar,
and yeah, smoking.
Yeah, smoking. And they're all like living their best life. I don't know, but you know, they're all generally slender. And so what are the key factors there? Number one, they're separating food from the movement of their life. What do I mean by that? They're not eating on the go. It's the culture there is you sit down, you put your body into rest and digest. You're taking a break from life to eat. You sit. Unfortunately, now in the past few years, because of McDonald's and all this stuff, we're kind of trying to bring the fast food culture of like on the go thing. But for the most part, you know, the true French, it's they stop to eat. And so, you know, how can we apply that where we are? Okay, make sure that you're separating food from the movement of your life. It's not I'm eating while I'm on a Zoom. It's not I'm eating while I'm driving the kids to school or whatever. I can eat when I can take time to eat. And if you don't have time to eat, you need to figure out your life, because if you literally do not have time to sit down and like fuel yourself to keep yourself alive, like there's some other problems that like need to be.
There's some priorities that are mixed up.
Exactly. And so it's the stopping, and it's, I would say, because they're stopping, they're able to tap into, okay, when I feel like it's enough, and they're eating delicious food, right? So they're not volume eaters where they're trying to hack like, oh, like I won't have a croissant. I'll just have like all of this like bowl of kelp. Like, you know, it's like, no, like they're having what they like, they're stopping. And then they're moving on with their life. They're closing that eating occasion to get back into life. And when you have something that you enjoy, you can actually then move on with your life, right? And then wait for hunger, right? And so I think that's another key determinant. It's like, how can you start separating food from the movement of your life? If you're doing it while you're distracted or while you're on the go, that is number one. That will change your life. It'll change your digestion, everything. It's setting the intention to, I have to stop to eat. And we all have that head chatter of like, I don't have time. Yes, you do. If we're truly hungry, are you going to eat 17 times every day? No, like it's going to happen a couple times. And if you can't take 10 minutes to sit down at a table and do that, then again, bigger problems to address.
But they are allowed to eat while they're listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
Of course.
Okay.
Just sitting while they're doing it. Yeah.
So why might you want to, is this what you just answered? Why might you want to stop clean eating? Are you trying to say to be a flexitarian and not be such a clean eater that being a clean eater is not balanced? Is that kind of the point that you're making there?
So what I'm saying is you'll be a clean eater if you just stop trying to be a clean eater. And if you start, so I always use the verbiage because I'll hear my clients say like, oh, like I eat healthy or whatever. And I'll say, no. Connected. You made connected choices. And so I just want to change again the verbiage from, oh, I'm a clean eater. I'm a connected eater. I'm making connected choices. When you're connected, you're making clean choices. Do you know what I mean? But clean, it has this, it's again, like just like the intermittent fasting or whatever, it's sort of giving you this free pass to like check out. It's like, I don't need to like think of what I feel like right now. I'm just going to eat clean. But guess what? Clean might be very different for me based on my age, my activity level, my time in my cycle. All of those things are going to be so different versus someone else. So how can what's clean for one person be clean for another, right? And so we're all so different. We all have a completely different microbiome. And so, you know, we really have to tune in. And I think that's also can be scary because we want the answers, right? The answers are within. And I know it sounds so cliche and so annoying. Like, I remember when it's like, please, like, can I just pay someone to tell me the answer though? Unfortunately, you can't because no one else has access to your stomach but you. And so you really have to tap in. And I see it with my clients, you know, that are low in a certain nutrients. Like, oh my God, now I'm just craving lentils. And then I found out that, you know, I needed this, whatever. It's like, yes. But again, we have to surrender into it. But if you were following, I don't know, like paleo, someone might've said like, don't eat lentils. Right. And so everything's always changing, especially as women, especially because of our cycle, you know, like, and that's why I'm not against the trends, because there are times in our cycle where it's sort of, we can fast for a little bit longer. And then there are times when we should be having more carbs, right? Because that's what we need. And then there are times when we don't really need that many carbs, right? And so the good news is you don't need to learn it. You can just tap into it. It's always there.
So this is the last question. This has been a great interview. I really like connected eating versus clean eating. I'm going to incorporate that in my lifestyle. What is the biggest myth in the health and wellness industry right now?
I guess I would just say that there's still information to be taught. I think that like overall, there's still this energy of searching specifically around like, okay, like what is the healthiest food? What is the healthiest diet? There's still this urgency to like figure it out. And ultimately, like to me, the answer is so clear, like that you can only figure yourself out in this particular moment. Like that is the answer. We can't market that. So that's not available or sexy or, you know, a moneymaker. But I think that's the biggest myth. It's that we still have, oh, well, like, well, with enough science, with enough testing, with enough, still nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's still just a matter of you truly tapping in. And that will never be replaced by more information or more studies.
Really, really good. Well, Kiki, I have really enjoyed our time here. And I know that my listeners are going to want to keep in touch with you. Where can they find you on social media?
Amazing. Thank you for asking. And it's been so fun. So my Instagram is Kiki_Athanas. My website is Kiki Athanas. And everything is Kiki Athanas. It's my name. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, listeners, I know you got so much out of this. If you know someone who is struggling with food addiction, obsession, anorexia, bulimia, being obsessed with clean eating, which is, we learn orthorexia and just a fixation on food in general, either the plus or the negative or anything in between, the macros, send them this podcast, give them freedom. Why wouldn't you want to give someone freedom? I used to have a best friend that every time we went out to dinner, she had an app that she had to pull up and she was counting calories. And I just felt sorry for her because here we are, we're in Hollywood, we're at a hot spot. We were like both single, we're trying to like, you know, look hot, meet guys. And she's like in her phone counting calories. And I was just like, oh, I wished that I could give her more freedom. So if you know anyone like that who is a slave to their scale or to calories or macros or any of the food trends, please send them this podcast. It'll take you 2 seconds to copy and paste the link. And if you want to really, really do me a good one, send a 5-star review into Apple iTunes, write a review, rate it, subscribe. That is how we grow the message of going from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And then it's a movement. There's so many women out there that are exhausted, drained, depleted. They don't even know what it feels like to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And those are the women that get to hear this podcast. And I'm so excited to empower them and everyone to go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, the Magnetic Abundance Mentor. Stay tuned for another inspiring guest. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. Please rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. If you or someone you know feels stuck and needs more abundance and balance in their life, please go to my link tree in the show notes to schedule your complimentary breakthrough call. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you on the next podcast episode.